Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Moe's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice, and I'm ready to talk sports with you on this cold and rainy Monday in Oklahoma. Man, it was a crazy weekend, not just because of Kevin Durant's return to Oklahoma City, which we'll talk about later on in the show, but because of the weather. You know, on Saturday, it was 90 degrees, or just about 89, 90 degrees, whatever. But today, it's 44, cold and rainy. Just another typical day in Oklahoma. But I had a great weekend of watching sports. I'm ready to talk about it all with you. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call into the show, 1-646-929-0429. You can also email me, MauriceTrice@hotmail.com. That's MauriceTrice at hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, @TheDukeBoy100. That's @TheDukeBoy100. You can also like my Facebook page. Just put in Moe's Sports Talk in the search, and you can like my Facebook page. You can also listen to the show on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. That's TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. I believe the show is also available on iTunes as well. But we have a big show planned for you today. We're going to talk a lot of basketball. We're going to talk college first, and then some NBA, including we'll discuss Kevin Durant's triumphant return, I guess you could say, if you're a Warrior fan, to Oklahoma. We'll talk about that later on the show. Before we talk basketball, we can talk some other sports topics as well. We can talk about Tiger Woods. He's going to be out for the next two tournaments that he was supposed to play in because of back spasms. Again, Tiger Woods needs to get healthy, obviously. If he has any chance of winning a major, he needs to get healthy in a hurry. But that being said, man, he's just not playing good golf right now. He's not playing good golf at all, but I still have some blind faith that Tiger Woods can still get it done. I just still have some blind faith, but those injuries have really caught up to him. And also mentally, is he going to be mentally into the game? But the key for him first, you got to get 100% healthy, and he's definitely not 100% healthy. He keeps on getting injured. He has to get 100% healthy. So we'll see if he can do that going forward, but I'm definitely looking forward to the Masters, and hopefully he'll play in the Masters, and hopefully he'll make the cut in the Masters. That should be his first goal, is to make the cut. But anyway, we can talk about that. We can also talk about some NFL news. I believe today Victor Cruz and Rashard Jennings were cut from the New York Giants. So I think Victor Cruz still, and Rashard Jennings is a really nice player. He can cast the ball out of the backfield. I think he's a guy who can help a team. I still think Victor Cruz has something left in the tank, in my opinion. So I know he's dealt with a bunch of injuries, but I still think he can help a team. So it'll be interesting to see where those two players wind up heading into the off-season. Free agency is to be starting next month in the NFL, so it'll definitely be interesting to see what happens there. So we'll definitely talk about that. Also, I did hear a rumor about Adrian Peterson that he might end up with the Dallas Cowboys. I heard also the Houston Texans are on his list as well as the New York Giants, who just cleared money, $10 million, by releasing Victor Cruz and Rashard Jennings. So that'll be interesting. But it'll be interesting if Adrian Peterson does go to the Cowboys, does he start over Ezekiel Elliott, or would he be Ezekiel Elliott's backup? In this league, you definitely need two quality running backs. But, man, that you talk about the rich getting richer. I mean, my goodness, Ezekiel Elliott, he was big time this year. With running behind that offensive line, if that offensive line is healthy, that would be a big time move for the Dallas Cowboys if that happens. So we can talk about that as well. It's just a rumor, but that's if the Vikings don't pay Adrian Peterson the money that he wants. They want him to take a pay cut. If he doesn't take that pay cut, they release him. He's going to be a free agent, obviously, so it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. Is he going to stay with Minnesota? I think he would also fit in well with the Houston Texans as well. That would definitely boost their offense as well. So, and the New York Giants, he would help any team. So I know he's getting a little older, obviously. He's dealt with some injuries, but I still think he has at least two or three good seasons left in him, in my opinion, if he can stay healthy, obviously. So that's a big F, but if he can stay healthy, I think he can still get the job done. So we can talk about all those topics as well. But right now, we're going to take a quick opening timeout. We're going to play some music from the Fast and Furious 6 soundtrack, which was on Channel 4 on Sunday, by the way. I watched a little bit of it again. I've seen that movie 3 or 4 times. That was my favorite Fast and Furious, was Fast and Furious 6. Definitely enjoyed that. But we'll play some music from the Fast and Furious 6. When we come back, we'll talk college basketball. We'll do that next. Although, we're stuck.
Sean Khalid from Man.
Don't shine.
Money's the motivation, money's the conversation. You on vacation, we getting paid, so we on vacation. I did it for the fam. It's whatever we had to do, it's just who I am. Yeah, it's the life I chose. Gunshots in the dark, one eye closed. And we got it cooking like a one-eye stove. You can catch me kissing my girl with both eyes closed. Perfecting my passion, thanks for asking. Couldn't slow down, so we had to crash it. You use plastic, we bout cash. I see some people ahead that we gon' pass, yeah.
I never fear death or dying. I only fear never trying. I am whatever I am. Only God can judge me now. One shot, everything rides on tonight. Even if I've got 3 strikes, I'ma go for it. This moment, we own it.
Welcome back to Mo's Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything about sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. We'd love to hear from you. Let's turn our attention to college basketball. Let's talk about the weekend that was in college basketball. By the way, I went 4-0 at my college basketball picks. Listen to Mo's Sports Talk. If you want winners, listen to Mo's Sports Talk. I told you that the Duke Blue Devils would beat Clemson, and they did. They held on to beat Clemson 64-62. It was a lot closer than what I thought it would be. I thought it could be a letdown situation. You don't want to make excuses. You know, Duke's my favorite team, but we don't want to make excuses here. We don't make excuses on Mo's Sports Talk, but it was definitely a great situation for a letdown after that emotional Carolina game. Luke Kennard, good. Thank goodness for Luke Kennard. He scored 25 points for the game, 20 in the second half. Jason Tatum had 9 points and 7 rebounds. Grayson Allen struggled. He only scored 8 points on 2 of 10 shooting. Did have 5 assists. But Duke hit 11 of 26 from the 3-point line again. I know that's Duke's best arsenal is hitting at 3, but don't settle. Again, get to the basket. They have some talented guys who can get to the basket. Jason Tatum, he can get to the basket. Grayson Allen, obviously, he can get to the basket. They got a little post-up game with Emil Jefferson as well. Harry Giles is starting to get better at posting up a little bit. He's starting to get a little healthier. So don't settle for that 3-point shot, but that was a big difference on Saturday. Shelton Mitchell for Clemson, he scored 25 points, but Clemson shot just 38% from the field. They were 2 of 9 from 3, so that was a big difference in the game. Duke hitting 11 threes, Clemson only hitting 2. So Duke's coming up. They're coming. In the words of Russell Westbrook from this weekend, we're coming. We're coming. So there's no doubt about that. Duke's coming. They're up to number 12 in the new poll that was released today. So we'll definitely – and also the bracket preview, we'll talk about that coming up in a couple of minutes. Also, in the Big 12, Kansas, they escaped Lubbock, beating Texas Tech 80-79. Josh Jackson, he scored 31 points. He also had 11 rebounds. He had a game-winning free throw. After he missed the first free throw, he made the second one, and that was the difference in the basketball game. Kansas shot 49% from the field. They hit 10 threes. They made big plays on both ends of the court. They got big defensive stops, and they made big plays offensively. Keenan Evans, he scored 28 in the loss, but Texas Tech was 6 of 20 from the 3-point line. So Kansas, sometimes you have to survive, especially on the road, and that's what Kansas did. They survived on the road. They have a big game tonight, taking on West Virginia. Looking forward to that one. That should be very, very interesting to see how what takes place in Lawrence, Kansas, as Kansas will take on West Virginia. It'll be very, very interesting. See, I just don't see West Virginia beating Kansas and Lawrence, but we shall wait and see. We'll definitely talk about that on my next show on Friday, God's will. Also, on Saturday, Villanova, they whipped Xavier, beating them 73-57. 7 Wildcats were in double figures. Jalen Brunson, he scored 17 points. He has 7 assists. Dante DiVincio, he scored 17 points as well. Villanova shot 52% from the field. They only had 6 turnovers. Very, very efficient. For Xavier, Rasheed Gaston, he had a double-double. Rashard Ganson, he had 23 points and 10 rebounds. Xavier dominated on the glass. He had 22 offensive boards, but they shot just 35%. They were 6-21 from threes. Well, you know, Villanova, they're defending champion. They have really great guard play. Their guard play is really, really good. We talk about Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Chris Jenkins. I know he's more of a three, but still. They have really, really outstanding guard play. It's hard to turn them over. They always stay calm. They knock down big shots. So watch out for Villanova, obviously. They're going to be really, really tough to beat. They have an excellent chance of going back-to-back. I really thought they had a guy who was supposed to be a one-and-done. He did not qualify. Big man on the inside, he didn't qualify. So I really thought, that's going to be a death knell for Villanova. And they continue to roll. They're playing some outstanding basketball right now, really getting the job done there in the Big East. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything World of Sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. Also on Saturday in the Big 12, Oklahoma State, they dominated Texas in the second half. They went 84-71. Five Oklahoma State Cowboys were in double figures, led by Jeffrey Carroll, who scored 18. Phil Forte had 18. They shot 50% from the field, did Oklahoma State. For Texas, it's just been a real disappointing season, to say the least, for Texas. I really thought they would be much better than how they're playing. They just don't have good guard play. Jared Allen, he had a double-double. He had 18 points and 10 rebounds, but they were only 4 of 23 from the three-point line, and they were 9 of 18 from the free-throw line. So you miss 9 free throws, you shoot 50% from the free-throw line, and 4 of 23 from threes. That's awful. Oklahoma State right now is still rolling. They're still playing some really good basketball. Again, if they can get to 8-10 and the tough Big 12, I think they make the NCAA tournament. They're all the bracketologists' brackets, they're in the bracket. So I like the way Oklahoma State's playing. They're playing some really good basketball right now. Also in the Big East, we did have a big upset in the Big East. Providence, they did stun Butler, beating them 71-65. Alpha Diallo, he scored 15 points for Providence. They were more aggressive. They also hit 9 threes as well. They did a great job of being in attack mode. Keaton Savage, he scored 13 points, but Butler only shot 5 of 18 from the three-point line. So a nice in there for Providence. Notre Dame, they're starting to get it back together after struggling a little bit the last couple of games in the ACC. They've won 2 games in a row. Notre Dame did shock Florida State, beating them 84-72. Abonzi Colson, he had a double-double, 33 points and 13 rebounds. They shot 49%. They were plus 7 on the glass. For Florida State, Terrence Mann, he scored 15 points, but they were only 3 of 15 from threes and 7 of 22 from the free throw line. Fundamentals, 7 of 22 from the free throw line is just awful. That's just plain bad. I mean, my goodness, that is awful. But Notre Dame, to me, is still a team that's very, very dangerous. I know, like I said, they struggled a little bit in conference play, and it's the ACC. To me, the ACC is the best conference in basketball. The team who wins the ACC might have 5 or 6 losses, whoever wins the ACC. That shows you how tough that conference is from top to bottom. There's no nights off in the ACC. I'm not too shocked that Notre Dame has struggled, but they're starting to right the ship, and that's a team to watch out for. I know they have some issues. They can be dominated on the inside. They can be dominated on the glass at times, but they can. Matt Farrell, VJ Beachum, Steve Asturi, and then Bonzi Colson. I like to go to the war with those four players on my team, so watch out for Notre Dame. Also, on Saturday night, I told you Gonzaga will get a road win and beat St. Mary's. They did. They won 74-64. Kornowski, the big man on the inside, Prismic Kornowski, he scored 19 points. They had 9 rebounds. Jonathan Williams had 17. They shot 55% from the field. Jock Landell, he scored 24 points. They had 8 rebounds, but St. Mary's shot only 41% from the field. Gonzaga, they were 19-27 from the free throw line. St. Mary's was only 12 of 16, so they made more free throws than St. Mary's attempted. That's always big, like we always talk about on Moe's Sports Talk. Gonzaga was a more aggressive team, and they got the job done. I believe they're going to go undefeated heading into the NCAA tournament. I still think this is one of Mark Few's best Gonzaga team. We'll talk about where they were placed at in the bracket preview in a minute. And then on Sunday, we had a bunch of upsets. Virginia, they lost to Virginia Tech in double overtime. A big win there for Virginia Tech. Also, who else lost? Northwestern, they got a great road win beating Wisconsin. That really shocked me. That should, if they play halfway decent basketball down the stretch, that they can stay healthy, that should put Northwestern in the NCAA tournament, that win right there. So that was the biggest upset. Also, SMU beat Cincinnati. They dominated Cincinnati in the second half. Cincinnati struggled to even make a basket, so a nice win there in Dallas for SMU in on that one on Sunday. And then we had the bracket preview. For the first time ever, the NCAA committee, they released what the tournament would look right now if the tournament was to start on, I believe it was on Saturday, and who would be the number one seeds, and they had the top 16 teams, and who would be in what region. So I thought that was really interesting. I told you that if you follow me on Twitter, I told you who the number one seeds would be. I had my number one seeds on Thursday, and I said it would be Villanova, Kansas, Baylor, and Gonzaga, and that's exactly where the number one seeds would be right now. Again, it's just a snapshot of at the tournament were to start this past weekend, where we would be headed. So Villanova, I had no problem with Villanova as the number one team. They've been playing some outstanding basketball. Again, they're the defending champion. I would have Kansas as the number two one seed, but I thought Gonzaga, they were the last of the number one seeds. I would move them, in my opinion, over Baylor. Baylor has some nice wins, but I would move Gonzaga over Baylor in that one. So those would be my four number one seeds. The number two seeds, North Carolina, Louisville, Florida State, obviously would drop after that loss to Notre Dame. They probably dropped to a three seed. Oregon as well. So I found it very interesting. Definitely a great snapshot of what the brackets would look like if they were to start right now. But we have a lot of time, a lot of basketball to be played, obviously, including the conference tournaments. As for Duke, they would be the last number four seed, but they would be in the top 16. I like the fact that Duke is a top four seed. That's good, but I have two things for Duke. One, they want to play their first two games in Greenville, South Carolina. That would be big. Right now, I think it would be North Carolina and Virginia would play their first two games in Greenville, South Carolina. That would be big if Duke could play their first two games there. Also, I didn't like the region that Duke would be in. They would be in Kansas region. I don't think Duke can beat Kansas. Duke can beat Kansas. There's no doubt about that in my opinion. But you don't want to have to play Kansas in Kansas City. That's ridiculous. I mean, can you imagine if Kansas is the number one seed, which they're headed towards that route, they would have their first two games in Tulsa, and then their first two games, their regional semifinals and their regional final potentially in Kansas City. If you're a Kansas fan, you have to be doing jumping jacks, and you cannot make it the Final Four with that. What in the world? I don't care who's in their region. If you have to beat Kansas and Tulsa the way Kansas fans travel, and then you have to beat them in Kansas City, I don't see it happening. Yeah, I'm a Duke fan. I would hope Duke would win. Maybe on some of my brackets I would pick Duke to win, but that would be more of my heart. You don't want to play Kansas in Kansas City. You just don't want to do it. So they've had way too much success there. It'd be like a home game. So anyway, we'll keep a track of that. We'll definitely got me excited, looking forward to March Madness. But right now we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music from Ariana Grande. When we come back, we'll talk NBA, including Kevin Durant's return to Oklahoma City. We'll do all that next on Mo.
Got the top spot title. Spent an hour in the bathroom, walked out looking like a model. God, doing what you do, got me right there with Apollo on the moon. Who needs genies in a bottle, girl, if they already got you?
Boy, you made me feel so lucky. Finally, the stars are.
Welcome back to Mo's Sports Talk. Don't forget, it's not too late. If you want to talk anything world sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. I would love to hear from you. Let's talk about the weekend that was in the NBA. On Friday night, the Washington Wizards, they get a really nice win beating the Pacers in Washington, 112-107. John Wall, he had a double-double, 26 points and 14 assists. Markieff Morris had a double-double, 26 points and 10 rebounds. Marcin Gortat, he was a big difference maker, getting all those offensive rebounds, all those tap-outs. He had 14 points and 6 rebounds. They hit 10 threes. They were more aggressive. They were 20 of 30 from the free throw line. The Pacers were only 13 of 15, so they did a great job attacking, getting to the rim. Even though they missed 10 free throws, you don't want to see that if you're a Wizard fan. Paul George, he scored 31 points. The Pacers were only 4 of 21 from the three-point line, so a nice win there for Washington. They're moving on up in those Eastern Conference standings. Right now they would be the number 3 seed in the East, so Scott Brooks and Washington Wizards have got it going on right now. Also on Friday night, before Kevin Durant came to Oklahoma City, and we'll talk about that in a minute, Golden State, they blasted Memphis, getting revenge on Memphis, who had beaten them the previous two times they played. They dominated Memphis, 122-107. Klay Thompson, he scored 36 points. He had 8 threes. Kevin Durant, he scored 24 points, but only on 5 of 14 shooting. Did a great job of getting at the free throw line. Andre Iguodala had 22 points off the bench. Steph Curry added 18. Draymond Green, he had a crazy triple-double. He only scored 4 points, but he had 12 rebounds. 10 assists and 11 steals. I think he did have 11, but anyway, he had 11 steals, so a triple-double. Very impressive by Draymond Green, and like I said, I know a lot of people around here in Oklahoma City don't like him, but look, he does a little bit of everything for your team. He's the type of guy, if he's on your team, you love him. If he's not on your team, you don't like him very much, but he's like a Swiss Army knife, like we talked about on my last show. He does a little bit of everything. He gives you a little bit of everything you need, and that's what he did against Memphis. Golden State shot 51% from the field. They had 15 threes, 31 assists. Again, excellent ball movement. Mike Conley, he scored 20 points, had 9 assists. Zach Randolph had 17 points and 13 rebounds off the bench, but Memphis shot just 39% from the field. They had 18 turnovers. And we'll talk more about turnovers against Golden State when we talk about Oklahoma City, but it's never good when you turn the ball over against the Golden State Warriors. Any team, but especially that Golden State Warriors team. Then Saturday came, and Golden State comes to Oklahoma City. Kevin Durant's first trip back to Oklahoma City. Oklahoma State whips Oklahoma City. The game really was never in doubt. I think Oklahoma City made a run in the third quarter to get it within 12. Had you thinking maybe, but it was pretty ugly. Golden State whips Oklahoma City 130-114. They were up by as many as 26 points. Kevin Durant, he scored 34 points on 12 of 21 shooting. He had 9 rebounds and 3 assists. First game back, it was emotional, you could tell. He was a little shaky at the beginning of the game. He was aggressive, but he didn't make any shots. He started 2 of 8 from the field. So he struggled early. He was booed, but he was big time late. Now look, I expected Kevin Durant to be booed. That's not shocking to me. A lot of fans in Oklahoma City feel like he's a traitor and all this other stuff. They felt like they were so close to winning, to making it to the NBA Finals last season. They were up 3-1 on this Warriors team. You joined the team, one of them, you can't beat them, so join them. Obviously, to me, it was his decision. I wish he would have stayed in Oklahoma City, obviously, but it was his decision. So, to me, I don't go in for all that cupcakes nonsense. To me, that's grade school type stuff, in my opinion. Like I said, if you want to do it, you paid your money to, go to the game, fine. But for me, have a little class. Not that you don't have class, but, let's not try to be too mean. Booing him, okay, is one thing, but cupcakes, traitor, coward, and all this silliness, to me, I don't go in for all that. But that being said, he played really well. I mean, he's played really well against Oklahoma City. And like I said, just the cupcake and all that other stuff to me is in poor taste, in my opinion. But like I said, I can understand some of the fans' feelings about how they feel scorned. But to me, it's basketball. It's not that serious, He made a decision. He took the easy way out. There's no doubt about that. But look, this team is loaded. And if they don't win a title, it's a shame. So Steph Curry, he had 26 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. Klay Thompson added 26. Golden State Warriors shot 53% from the field, and they hit 13 threes, did the Golden State Warriors. For Oklahoma City, Russell Westbrook, he had a triple-double. He had 47 points, 11 rebounds, and 8 assists, but he also had 11 turnovers. And against the Golden State Warriors, you cannot have that many turnovers. They had 19 turnovers for the game. You do that against Golden State, you get killed, and that's what happened to Oklahoma City. If you're going to beat the Golden State Warriors, you have to be very efficient. You have to slow the tempo down. Also, you have to dominate the them on the glass. Oklahoma City was only +3 on the glass, and also you cannot turn the ball over. You just cannot do that. Victor Oladipo, he scored 20 points, but not enough help. I thought Steven Adams, he didn't play that well. He only had 3 rebounds. That's not enough for Steven Adams. Also, the bench was bad as well. They were only 6-24 from the 3-point line, so that was an issue as well. But a nice win there for the Golden State Warriors. And again, I'm sure Kevin Durant's happy to have that game over with. I definitely got chippy, him and Andre Roberson going head-to-head. Russell Westbrook saying, well, I'm coming. And then I guess Kevin Durant said, yeah, so what? You're still going to lose. But Russell Westbrook kept coming. The man's a rough rider. Like Stephen A. Smith said from SportsCenter, he's a rough rider. There's no doubt about that. He doesn't care if he has to take on the whole team by himself. But right now, it's like a gunfight. Right now, Oklahoma City, they have a handgun, and the Golden State Warriors, they have a machine gun. Who's going to win that gunfight? Well, it's going to be the Golden State Warriors. So, obviously, Enes Kanter would help, and I didn't like the fact that Enes Kanter wants to get up off the bench and try to fight someone. Well, why don't you just not hit chairs anymore? Why don't you focus on that? You know, if I was making $17 million a year like Enes Kanter, I would never get upset. It would take maybe if a family member had a disease, or I found out that I had a disease. Besides that, I wouldn't get upset if I was making $17 million a year, and I definitely wouldn't be hitting chairs. Come on, man. So anyway, that's my thoughts on that. Also, on Saturday night, Cleveland, they destroyed Denver, who's right now would be the 8th seed in the West, 125-109. LeBron James, he scored 27 points, had 12 assists. Kyrie Irving added 27. Kevin Love had 16 points and 9 rebounds. He is hurt, though. He's out with a knee soreness. He's going to be out at least Tuesday's game, I believe. He's going to be out for that game. We'll see if he plays Wednesday, and I wonder if he's going to be able to play in the All-Star game. Don't forget the All-Star game is Sunday. Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant are going to be on the same team. That'll be interesting. A lot of drama there if you're into the drama. But also, going back to the Cleveland game against Denver, they shot 55% for the field. They hit 15 of 30 from the three-point line. Their ball movement was excellent. They had 30 assists as a team. Nikolai Jokovic, he scored 27 points and had 13 rebounds in a losing effort for the Nuggets, but they shot just 40%. So a big dominant win there for Cleveland against a playoff team, even though Denver probably shouldn't be a playoff team. They didn't make a move this weekend. They traded for Mason Plumlee. I think, you know, I'm a little biased. Mason Plumlee is a former Dukie, but I think he can help him. So they traded for him. And then finally, I was stunned by this one, the New York Knicks. Yes, the New York Knicks upset the San Antonio Spurs, beating them in San Antonio 94-90. Carmelo Anthony, he scored 24-5 points. Derrick Rose, he added 18. Porzingis, he had 16 points and 7 rebounds and also 4 block shots. They shot 50% from the field. They were also 9 of 14 from threes, so they didn't take many threes, but when they did take the threes, they knocked them down, so that was very, very efficient. They were great in the second half. They were down by 6 in halftime, and they dominated in the second half. Also, great defense by the New York Knicks. They had 8 block shots. Imagine that. You play defense, you get good results. Imagine that, New York Knicks. Kawhi Leonard, he scored 36 points in the loss for the Spurs. LaMarcus Aldridge had 15 points, but on 5 of 16 shooting, so Kawhi was really good, but he didn't get enough help. They shot just 36% from the field. To the Spurs, they were only 6-29 from threes. Where was their ball? Their ball movement was just not existent. It was just stagnant, especially in that second half. Give credit to the Knicks. They played great defense, and they got the job done, but I would have said the Knicks have about a 2% chance of winning, beating the Spurs, even at home, and they get the job done. So, got to give the Knicks dealing with a lot, obviously, this week, and they still got a lot of issues. There's no doubt about it. But the sad thing is they're only about 3 or 2.5 games out of making the playoffs. But they're still – they've got a lot of issues. And James Dolan, like I said, Charles Oakley, putting his hands on security guards, you can't do that. But, for James Dolan to come out and say, look, we think he might have an alcohol issue. I mean, come on, man. Unless you know for sure that the man has an alcohol issue, don't come out say in the media, well, he might have an alcohol issue. We don't know. What kind of mess is that, man? What are you doing? And then he's going to bring out Latrell Sprewell, who has been in the Garden for a long time, to say, hey, look, the Knicks still love me. Former players still love me. Come on, man. That is absolutely ridiculous, man. What are you doing? But it was a nice game for the Knicks. Give them credit. They got the job done on Sunday. So that is my thoughts on the NBA. Thank you for listening to my show. Don't forget, my next show will be Friday at 5:30 Central Time, guys. We'll talk about college basketball. We'll talk about all the games that big games that took place this week, and also look ahead to the weekend games in college basketball. We'll also get you ready for the All-Star game. We'll talk about the games leading up, some of the bigger games that took place leading up to the All-Star game. We'll also get you ready for All-Star weekend. He's always looking forward to that, especially the slam dunk contest and the three-point shooting contest on All-Star Saturday night. So have a blessed rest of your week. God is good. Trust in him. Never worry, never fear. And we'll talk to you next time on Moon.